Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show. It's brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of Liberty and Prosperity. And the highway to the north. This is Safety Wars for Tuesday, May 7th, 2024. I was busy playing, doing play-by-play in Little League last night. He got roped into it. Is that over? Basically, what the policy is that you have to have someone doing play-by-play and operating the scoreboard. Otherwise, you're forfeit. So it was my turn. I said, I'm not so good on the scoreboard. One of our listeners used to be Pastor Sadler. He don't listen to Kill You. He used to be the scorekeeper at New York Giants before they moved into the stadium. So right around that time, he was getting ordained and everything. By the time they moved into the stadium, they didn't need him. Oh well. We love going to the football. It's been a huge football fan. So we do have some new software as promised. And we also have some new features we're going to put in here. And everything's going good. Ever have one of those days where the computer just doesn't even want to know that was the score? We have one of these forced updates. Some software this morning, a very well-known piece of software, then all of a sudden nothing worked, but I needed it. Very frustrating. So we ended up having to reboot, repent, starting over, erase everything, start all over, and we ended up okay. We were successful. That's on some stuff, just it happens. What are you going to do about it? So try to be a professional. We have some more new features here. So here we go.
Welcome to Safety Wars News for May 6, 2024. I am Oliver S. Rodowisco reporting. Midwest bread supplier safety violations. An investigation revealed that a Midwest bread supplier in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, violated workplace safety regulations after an employee suffered disabling injuries in October 2023. Back wages recovery for Lansing Group Home employees. The Department of Labor recovered in back wages and damages for four employees denied minimum wage and overtime by a group home operator in Lansing, Michigan. Funding for dislocated workers in Maine. The Department of Labor awarded $696,000 to Coastal County's Workforce Inc. to continue providing employment and training services to workers affected by layoffs in six counties in Maine. Chicago Medical Glass Manufacturer Safety Failures. A follow-up inspection at a medical glass manufacturer in Chicago Heights found repeat violations in machine safety procedures, endangering worker safety. Youth Apprenticeship Week Initiative. The Department of Labor announced the first annual Youth Apprenticeship Week to celebrate the benefits of registered apprenticeships as pathways to good jobs, with over 320 events planned. April 2024 Employment Situation Report. Acting Secretary of Labor Julie Sue highlighted the addition of 175,000 jobs in April and a stable unemployment rate of 3.9%, marking a prolonged period of low unemployment. Child labor violations in California's poultry industry. The department settled one of the largest wage violation cases for U.S. poultry workers, securing $48 million in back wages and damages for 476 workers, including penalties, after finding children employed illegally. Unemployment Insurance Fraud Prevention Partnership. A new partnership between the Departments of Labor and Treasury aims to enhance fraud prevention in state unemployment insurance programs. Cisco West Coast Florida Hiring Discrimination Settlement. Cisco West Coast Florida agreed to pay $133,000 in back wages and interest to resolve allegations of hiring discrimination against female applicants for selector positions. Fatal fall of window cleaner in Boston. An investigation into a fatal 29-story fall of a window cleaner in Boston found the employer failed to inspect and replace damaged safety equipment. $98 million in grants for training young workers. The department awarded $98 million in grants to support training and employment services for young people across 30 states and Guam, aiming to increase apprenticeships in high-demand careers. Final rule to cut methane emissions and update reporting. The Environmental Protection Agency has announced a final rule to reduce methane emissions and enhance transparency in greenhouse gas reporting for the oil and gas sector. This action aims to address a major driver of climate change by implementing more stringent reporting requirements. Support for climate action plans by tribes and territories. Over 200 tribes and 4 territories are preparing climate action plans with funding from the Inflation Reduction Act. This is a significant step in the $5 billion Climate Pollution Reduction Grants Program. Hurricane season preparedness tips. The Environmental Protection Agency is reminding Gulf Coast residents about the upcoming hurricane season starting June 1, offering guidance on preparations to ensure safety and minimize environmental impact during storms. Air Quality Monitoring Tools reminder for New Englanders. During Air Quality Awareness Week, the Environmental Protection Agency encourages New England residents to utilize free air quality monitoring tools to stay informed and safe throughout the summer. Small business champions recognized. The Environmental Protection Agency celebrated the contributions of small business champions at the 34th Annual Small Business Programs Award Ceremony, recognizing efforts in sustainability and environmental responsibility. Funding for lead pipe replacement projects. The Environmental Protection Agency announced significant funding for lead pipe replacement in several states, including Virginia, Minnesota, Ohio, and others. These initiatives are part of a broader effort to ensure safe drinking water across the nation, as mandated by the Biden-Harris administration's agenda. Thanks for listening. For Safety Wars, this is Oliver S. Rodowisco.
So what did you think? We passed a little bit of time, set things up, trying to get into that all-important skills mode, the Rasmussen skills mode, trying to improve. That's what's going on here. In case you haven't heard, we had what is called Fall Protection Week here in the United States, and we wanted to talk about fall protection this week with that. And let's move on over to that. So what I wanted to do is show this here, and I'm sure, you know, we're doing new things here. I wanted to make sure we had, we're doing new things here. So I wanted to make sure we had this together. One of the reasons why I wasn't around last night also. Right? The Little League in this. So one of the things that I put around, I try to concentrate on government websites because they're non-copyrighted. I'm not going to hopefully get into a problem with that. U.S. government websites are non-copyrighted, they're open source. So I do this a couple of times a year, especially when I am going to go and talk about fall protection, some of my OSHA outreach statistics. Here I have, this is the latest that we have. This is from Tuesday, December 19, 2023. This is a news release from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So they come out, just like the Census Department, they have all different things. So does the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So there were 5,486 fatal work injuries recorded in the United States in 2022, a 5.7% increase from 5,190 in 2021, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics reported today. Fatal work injury was 3.7 fatalities for 100,000 full-time equivalent workers, right? And now they show here in chart number, the one number, the total number of workplace injuries. We here see here in 2020 that COVID dip, right, on there. And over here we have the same thing, fatal work injury rate per 1,000 full-time employee workers. And that was up from 2013 to 2022. Again, we had that little dip there in 2020. So here we have. A worker died every 96 minutes from a work-related injury in 2022 compared to 101 minutes in 2021. So things went up. Fatalities due to violence and other injuries by persons or animals increased 11.6% to 849 in 2022 compared to 761 in 2021. Homicides accounted for 61.7% of these fatalities, with 524 deaths, an 8.9% increase from 2021. And some of the new things that have come in there at unintentional overdose. Here we have workers in transportation and material moving occupations experienced 1,620 fatal fall injuries in 2022. The next highest was construction and extraction workers with 1,056 fatalities. Here we have going on here. At the bottom here, work-related fatalities, and I'm going to highlight that in blue. Work-related fatalities due to falls, slips, and trips increased by 1.8% in 2022, resulting in 865 fatalities, up from 850 in 2021. Most fatalities in this category, 80.9%, were due to falls to lower levels, which had 700 fatalities. This was a 2.9% increase from 680 fatalities in 2021. That is why we read the BLS statistics. Your training materials, and I looked up some open source training materials today. I didn't want to give away mine, but we have open source on OSHA and everything. They haven't been updated in many, many, many years. I mean, we got stuff going back for years. But you, as if you're an OSHA OSHA outreach instructor, it's incumbent on you to actually go and update your stuff. Right? As Miles O'Malley, who's a legend here in New Jersey, has stated, Jimmy, you got to carry your own water. Right? Just carry your own water. Don't rely on those other folks putting together things for you. However, if you want to clip this out and, you know, give it, use it in your training, great idea. No, you can do this. That crazy guy on YouTube with the Safety Wars baseball jersey, several different types. We got him in orange. We got him in yellow. We got him in black. And we got him in red. But anyway, go and check things out for yourself on everything with that. Now, we're going to go again here with this, right? And let's see what we have here on fatal falls. So I go on to the OSHA news releases, and we have here, okay, not in construction, but a lot of the same things. We forget that. No, a lot of the people who listen here are not construction people, they're general industry. So here we have a Department of Labor investigation of Boston window cleaners' 29-story fall finds the employer again failed to inspect replace protective equipment. So we covered some of this the other night. We're going to cover it again here. The employer failed. Here we go. OSHA's investigation determined that the employer failed to adequately train employees on how to inspect ropes for maximum allowable wear, to recognize defects and conditions that warrant removal from service, and on proper use in the rope descent system. The ropes used in the rope descent systems were not effectively padded or otherwise protected to prevent them from being cut or weakened, and allowed the use of rope descent systems, lifelines, and lanyards for personal fall protection that were not compatible. Failed to use only certified building anchorages. So this has to do with suspended scaffolding, and the successor company, I'm sorry, the predecessor company was also cited for this in 2013 and 2019 with this. So it really, you know, it's one of those things, guys. Now here's a couple of questions. Did the people that own the company now and who are managing the company know about the previous problems? Question, especially if you're going for a job interview or something like that, that may be one of the questions that you want to ask. What were the OSHA problems before? And was there a what were the problems out there? Are these problems still going on? Something that you really need to go and you really need to figure out on that. The reason being is the you get caught up in this. Trying our new stuff here. You get caught up with all of this stuff here. And what happened before? What happened since? Where are we going? And everything else. There is a client right now I'm working with, and his question is, okay, where do we go from here? Great answer. Great question. I have a good answer. Where after we get off of this call or this broadcast, we're going to go and plan that out. He's in the far reaches of the United States. So we have, by the time this program is over, he's just, getting, he's going to be able to talk with us with a special nighttime meeting. But all this stuff, what happened before? Was it fixed? Was it not fixed? Anything along those lines, you need to go and you need to figure out, as they say, with that. Because often you're being held responsible for what other people do, not do, fix or not fix. Way it is. You're the person there having to manage this. Let's go look at some of the violations here. Again, everyone's innocent till proven guilty in a court of law. This is on a general industry. The employer did not ensure that no employee uses any anchorage before the employer has obtained written certification. So you need to have written certification. That's $11,500. Don't certify it yourself. You got to get written certification from somebody else or a competent person or a qualified individual, somebody with that. So the employees are exposed to fall hazards while conducting window cleaning activities. So I tiled off to guardrails on a roof deck instead of approved anchorages. Those guardrails are only approved for up to 200 pounds, not any too much more. Citation one, item two, the employee did not train anybody for fall protection systems on anything. You're all basic stuff. So the what happened on October 23rd, the employer did not adequately train employees in the appropriate methods for inspecting personal fall arrest system lifelines and recognizing excessive abrasion or cut braids, which require ropes to be removed from service, and employees were not adequately trained to only use the installed and certified anchorages provided as the building owner's plan, not to deviate the use or use other structural members. This was $16,131. Citation one, item three, the employer did not ensure that ropes, belts, and lanyards used for PFA, personal fall arrests, were compatible. On October 23rd, 2023, an employee fell to their death while conducting window cleaning operations with a rope that was not compatible with the rope grab. So what does this mean? All right, what does this mean? So you have, you have a rope, and you have a rope grab. And some people may call them a belay, but a belay is a little bit different. So what this is a connection onto the rope, and when you fall, it acts as an anchorage point. And we'll get into equipment later this week. We're going to talk about fall protection a little bit every week here. And what happens a little every day this week, and what happens is as you descend, it locks in place and it does, and it, right? And it, so you can't fall. Now, these are rated for certain things. So for example, they're usually rated for a 3/4 inch rope or 5/16 or 5/8 inch rope, somewhere in that range, or 7. Right, it's all in there. It's all over a half an inch, depending on the manufacturer, the system you have, everything else that goes into that. Now, if you use a larger rope, rope grab that's meant for like a 3/4 inch rope on like a smaller rope, guess what? It's not going to grab and you're going to fall to your death like this poor soul seems to have done here. So that's basically what they're talking about there. And 16,131, they got him for maximum. The employer did not ensure that ropes, belts, lanyards, lifelines, and harnesses used for personal fall protection are protected from being cut, abraded, melted, or otherwise damaged. I'm getting attacked by a cat here. Yes. Okay, buddy. Yeah, I think he wants to go on the air. But anyway, on October 23rd, 2023, employees' lifeline ropes are not adequately protected from damage or made contact with the parapet wall. 1910, citation 2, item 1, serious. They got them for the maximum amount. The employer does not ensure that the rope descent system is inspected at the start of each work shift that it is to be used. The employer does not ensure that damaged or defective equipment is removed from service immediately. The employer routinely fails to ensure that excessively worn... How do they determine that? Probably one of the employees mentioned it. Again, how do you manage employees talking to OSHA? Piss off the employees enough, right? Let's just face it here. I'm going to be blunt here. Piss off the employees enough. See what happens. Right? The FA versus FO graph. Fool around and find out. If you continue to mess with the employees and continue to not give the employees the equipment that they need, now we have this thing called the internet, and you're going to find this unbelievable that employees, now when they're not looking at things not safe for work, they sometimes go into websites like OSHA.gov, things of that nature, and they might find out a little bit about fall protection, whether it's applicable or not. And guess what? They may be listeners to this program or in similar programs, and they might go in and do whatever. So when the OSHA inspector comes around, they're like, oh, crap. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, they're not doing this. They're not doing that. And if you treat your employees badly, as many oil companies have found out over the years, and they corrected themselves to their credit, you treat your employees badly, guess what? You're going to get answers like this. They're going to drop dime on you, and they're not going to have any mercy on you. I hate to say that. It's just the way it is. Citation 2, item 2, another $161,000. Not inspected for mildew, right? For mildew, wear, damage, and other deterioration, the defective components are removed from service. Again, now, I was having a conversation with a client today, and it's like, well, how do you prove that you inspected something? I said, you got to do it in writing. Writing means paper, or now we have apps, now we have videos, we have all different types of stuff. A lot of the auditing programs I use, they allow you to put in videos. That was 32,262. Citation 3, item 2, repeat serious. And did not train each employee who used the rope descent system in proper rigging and use of the equipment. Again, gotta train people. Qualified trainers. Don't assume that your employee knows what they are doing and are encouraged to do the right thing. That's something you need to realize. Are you encouraging your employees? Is there an incentive system set up where you could do for them to do the right thing? Because I tell you what, if they are not, if the system's not there, they're going to do the best they can. You got to give them support when they do the right thing. There are employers out there that don't do that, and you end up with situations like this often. And of course, there's always the situation of Guvno happens. I get it. Guvno does happen sometimes, but, you know, it doesn't have to happen all the time. So let's go on. We are at 25 minutes into the program. Let's see what else we have here. Department of Labor investigation into visiting nurses that finds home care agency failed to protect workers against workplace violence. This has been an ongoing issue now for several years. Let's see what the citations are here. I wasn't going to put these up, but let's try it out. Let's see what we got here. And this is from up in Rocky Hill, Connecticut. Going down. Citation 1, item 1, general duty clause. So basically this is the catch-all that OSHA uses this, and this is a willful violation. It's rather extensive here. They hit them for the maximum $161,000. The employer did not furnish employment in a place of employment which were free of recognized hazards that were causing or likely to cause death or serious physical harm to employees from physical assault by patients exhibiting violent behavior, resulting in serious injuries and death while working. So what do they have? Apparently, on multiple occasions, they were having issues here. And on October 28th, a patient killed a licensed practical nurse, LPN, during home health care visit in Connecticut. Again, this doesn't apply only to nurses. How about everybody else? Now you're going to say, well, Jim, when have you ever dealt with this? Guess what? I haven't had to deal with a fatality along these things, but I have had to deal with disgruntled employees, assaulting people, assaulting their employers, assaulting their coworkers. Have I been threatened with violence multiple times? So people who, hey, you're not going to tell me to wear a pair of gloves, right, when I'm dealing with razor knives and broken glass. Really? You're not going to tell me, I've been doing this. This is what goes on out there, guys, you know? And here we have a lot of stuff. So OSHA not only has to tell you, hey, this is where you fouled up when it's a general duty clause thing. It also has to say, this is how you could have prevented this. General duty clause. We've had several programs on that over the couple of years. We'll have one again soon. The employer did not provide, this is a 190440. This is probably because the employer's people were not educated. So on or about November 3rd, 2023, the employer failed to provide copies of the injury and illness records to an authorized representative within 4 business hours. The OSHA 300 injury and illness logs for 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023 were provided on November 13th. That's 10 days later. $3,304. That is like an indicator that they use, they being OSHA, that they're something's up here. Something doesn't quite look right here, is basically it with this. So OSHA comes to the job site. What do they have to do? They're going to ask you for the OSHA 300 log. I'm going to tell you that right off the bat. Every time. So when there is a catastrophic incident, make sure that file is right out there sitting on whomever's desk in writing on paper. Gotta have it. But Jim, I filed it electronically. I know you filed it electronically, but computers have issues. Make sure you have it in writing. And remember, that's a rolling log. So the 2024 log does not have to be filed until 2025. But if you're having injuries throughout the year, that has to be on the log, and you have 10 days to put it on there. I'm sorry, scratch that. 5 days to put it on there. So you need to make sure it's on there within 5 days. This is why a lot of companies, especially with construction management firms or environmental management firms, require this stuff to be done within 24 hours. Then you give them a Guvno accident investigation, and that doesn't mean anything. Again, we were having another conversation today with a client. Well, how do we do, Jim, is there a course that'll teach us everything we need to know about accident investigation? And my answer is no, there's not. Because you have to have someone who is curious, intellectually curious, to go out there and do the accident investigation. It's like this, a couple of years back, I had someone call me up and say, Jimmy, there was a horrible accident here, and it turned out it was horrible for the person, obviously, right, in point of view. But we need to have an accident investigation done. Here, fill out this form. They give you a one-page form, right? And that one-page form, look, if you're looking for a one-pager, I'm not your guy. Can I do a one-pager? Absolutely. You want an investigation that's going to find out what the actual cause. We're not talking root cause analysis. Yeah. The root cause analysis are very subjective. Believe me. I hear root cause analysis and I'm like, okay, here we go again. Oh, then the root cause is always the employee not doing anything. So we ended up going and say, well, you want an axe investigation or you want a one pager? I don't do one pager. You want the full blown thing? Yeah, go ahead. Well, we took about a week, and we filed our paperwork and everything else, and there were certain ways you could do this, and I explained that to my client today. There are certain tricks to the trade for doing this accident investigation, and you come out at the end of when I filed it, they were all aggravated because it took a week to do an accident investigation. Well, guess what? When they got it, they were like, oh, wow, this sells us all different kinds of information inside about our company, where we need to go, how we do it, what caused the accident. And guess what? They felt that the accident cause was the person was not wearing goggles. We all know on the hierarchy of controls that those goggles are not necessarily the end all and the be all. They're the last line of defense. There were like 9 different things that happened prior to those, that thing, wasn't wearing goggles. That's like the last thing. Now you got to worry about the person wearing the goggles, the appropriate goggles, right? Again, they didn't have access to an eye wash immediately. All this other stuff going on. There's a lot that went on before that. So don't think, chemical burns to the eye, goggles, chemical goggles. Doesn't necessarily mean that. So you got to do the entire investigation. Now is the bottom of the hour news, and we're going to go there right now. And I did not do commercials yet. We got to do those.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Nick Harper. The adult film star at the center of Donald Trump's hush money trial has begun testifying in a New York court. Stormy Daniels has been recounting her affair with the former president, something that Trump himself denies. He's accused of falsifying business records to cover up the relationship ahead of the 2016 presidential election. FSN's Sally Patterson has more from outside court in Manhattan.
Trump's side really are going to try and discredit Stormy Daniels' testimony in this case, and so what the prosecution is really trying to do is show what an intelligent and achieved woman she really is. So she talked about the fact that she was awarded a scholarship to go to veterinary school, but she said she wasn't actually able to attend because of the cost, and she then from there went into adult films. Now she's also been telling us about the time that she met Donald Trump. She alleges that was in Lake Tahoe during a celebrity golf tournament, and she says that she met him on the golf course and they had a brief encounter. Later on, they re-met, she says, in a suite. All of this painting a picture of how the two of them met and then what she says became an affair.
The Israeli military says it's taken operational control of the Palestinian side of the Rafah crossing in southern Gaza and says it's conducted targeted strikes in eastern Rafah. It comes after Israel rejected Hamas's agreement to a ceasefire deal proposed by Egypt and Qatar, saying the terms are unacceptable, with an Israeli delegation on its way to Cairo to negotiate further. FSN's Sarah Coates reports from Tel Aviv.
Both the Rafah crossing and the Kerem Shalom crossing remain closed, really compounding the suffering of these people down in Gaza who are now being forced to move yet again from the east of Rafah, with this Israeli operation looking like it may expand in the coming days. But certainly we are hearing from players, international bodies around the region calling on Israel to reconsider this ground operation, which right now we do understand is just of limited scope.
Ukraine's security service has claimed that it's foiled a Russian attempt to assassinate Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and other high-ranking officials in the country. FSN's Megumi Lim has more from Kiev.
The SBU, which is Ukraine's security service, said it had uncovered a network of Russia's Federal Security Service agents who were preparing an assassination of President Zelensky, along with SBU Chief Vasyl Maliuk and Ukraine's military intelligence head Kirill Budanov. Two colonels of Ukraine's State Security Administration were accused of leaking classified information to Russia and were reportedly detained. Maliuk, the SBU chief, said the attack, which was supposed to be a gift to Russian President Vladimir Putin for his inauguration, was a failure.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks. It was a former US President, Harry Truman, who once said, "If you want a friend in Washington, get a dog." Well, the governor of South Dakota did get a dog, but her decision to shoot it dead may have just cost her the vice presidency of the United States. Governor Kristi Noem is openly vying to become Donald Trump's running mate this November. And in her new autobiography, designed to boost her chances of being picked, she explains her decision to kill a puppy called Cricket that she claims was untrainable. Amid public uproar, she's now changed the story to suggest that Cricket was a threat to human life. At least that's what she told Fox News.
It was a dog that was extremely dangerous, and I had a choice between keeping my small children and other people safe or a dangerous animal, and I chose the safety of my children.
There is more. She also claims in her memoir to have met North Korean strongman Kim Jong-un, except she now concedes that meeting never occurred and is blaming her ghostwriter for that false claim. Influential Republicans like the former Speaker of the House of Representatives Newt Gingrich say there is now no possibility Governor Noem will become Donald Trump's running mate, and it was notable that she did not attend in person a fundraising event over the weekend at which the former president appeared to be assessing some figures on his vice presidential shortlist. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
And the main news again, the adult film star Stormy Daniels, at the centre of Donald Trump's hush money trial, has begun testifying in a New York court. The Israeli military says it's taken control of the Palestinian side of the Rafah crossing in southern Gaza, and Ukraine says that it's foiled a Russian attempt to assassinate Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and other high-ranking officials. There's more from us on X at Feature Story. That's Feature Story News. Nick Harper reporting.
This is Safety Wars, broadcasting to our brothers and sisters in the occupied territory of behavior-based safety. Get out your secret decoder ring. Here is your nightly message.
Blame fixes nothing. Blame fixes nothing.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
Oh.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Polzel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy!
Okay, so hopefully, hopefully that went okay there. So, I don't know.
In the professional safety...
I'm sorry for the blank space there. I'll probably have to do something with this first production here. Okay. New software. We're getting used to it here. All right. Now, for the next thing. Kristi Noem. Right. The South Carolina governor. South Dakota governor. She came out with, and apparently, right now she's doing a lot of explaining. Or as Ricky used to say, Lucy, you have a lot of explaining to do. Right from I Love Lucy. It used to be a TV show way back in the day, Lucille Ball. We are going to have, in the very near future, one of her proteges on the show. If we can arrange it here. Anyway, she had written this book, right? So one of the things that, as I always say, politicians want to get reelected. Politicians are always looking into the next biggest thing. They're always looking for that honorarium, that all-important honorarium and everything. So they want to write a book. And often, I mean, look at everybody who wants to be president or vice president. Almost all of them write a book. Or do something. You had Al Gore, Earth in the Balance. You had Dan Quayle, Standing Firm. You had many, Alan Keyes with a couple of books thrown in there. You have Bill Clinton and Al Gore came out with a book explaining what they were going to do. Then you had Hillary Clinton with her book on the Health Care Act, and everybody writes this book. Governor of South Dakota, Noem, Governor Noem, no different than anybody. Okay, we cannot fault her for that. She wants to get her name out there and everything else. She get her name out there by coming on the Safety FM, by the way. Coming on with Jay Allen or me or any one of the other hosts. Now, let's talk about that. She, according to the book, had a problem animal, a dog. And she shot the dog, and then she shot a goat after that. Now, what people forget about this, and I'm not justifying this at all, just hear me out. Back when this happened, whether it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30, whatever that was, 5 years ago, you go into a rural area of the United States. I've worked pretty much all over the country here. You go into a rural area of the United States, what are you going to find? Take a guess. You're going to find this is a common thing. It's only very recently where we had the whole thing where we put dogs into shelters or you give up a dog, things of that nature. And a lot of these rural areas of the country, this is a farm animal. A dog is a farm animal. This is what happens. I've heard of it multiple times. I'm not excusing it. It doesn't mean the person's a psychopath. It doesn't mean that person's not a psychopath. I'm just saying. Culture, right? Context. To this, let's add a little bit of context. Was it smart to put that in the book? No, but now at least we know through her candor what we're dealing with here with this. And she probably just sunk her political career on a whole bunch of stuff, because I tell you what, you need to expand your voting base. You cannot cater to the voting base. I'm sure a lot of people that own farms in the Midwest, they can understand that they had a dog, wasn't working out, they did this to the dog. Right? By the way, I'm a dog lover. I'm a cat lover. I had the cat running around here a couple minutes ago, looking for attention. but different cultures. And I think we're seeing that now in the quote-unquote culture wars. People from different parts of the country think differently. And this is one of the reasons why we have the Electoral College, by the way, for the president. People in New York, their needs are different than the people in middle of the country, people in California, and everything else. So that's what the context of all this is, different cultures. Remember, there are Asian cultures that are eating dog, and that's a cultural thing, and it takes a long time for that to get out of the thing. And that's what this is. I mean, no. But why do you even mention it? Another thing is this. If you hire a ghostwriter, you're still responsible for what's in that book. This is what makes me laugh. I get these advertisements. I'm sure everybody on the program does, out there in the audience does. Write a book by lunchtime. $4.99 a month. Really? What kind of a book? We could use AI to write a book. Really? I use AI a lot for doing certain things. When they write something, or you get a text from AI, you have better make darn sure that that AI is working. Doing what it's supposed to do. All right, so back to our regular stuff here. So that's Kristi Noem, right? On there we have on the screen. Here we have a construction contractor out of Georgia, 31 years old. Now, apparently, this is the first time they got a visit from our friends at OSHA because they only got a $43,000 fine for a fatality. Let's see what some of the details are. Again, these are proposed citations, not the end game here. Now, I just went through this today with a client on an audit. Citation one, item one. A person who has a valid certificate in first aid training was not available at the work site to render first aid. $452. Pretty surprising, isn't it? What's the rule? Basically, it's from a letter of interpretation, and it essentially says this. If you cannot effectuate medical attention within 3 to 4 minutes, right? You have to have something available on site. First aid, CPR. AED is not a requirement. All right. So they didn't have it. Now, states like New Jersey have published their response times on the internet. All right. So every month you get it. Maybe they're like a month behind, but you get it for every month. What the basic life support response time is. I can tell you anywhere in New Jersey, you're not going to get that response time unless it happens right in front of the EMTs or a fire department or something like that. So now we had a situation a number of years ago. True story. Absolutely true story. One of my clients and their employee fell through a roof. Wasn't really anybody's fault on this one. And again, remember, blame fixes nothing. HOP principle 2, you heard it, you were supposed to hear it at least on the commercial. The person fell through a roof. And what happened was he was rigged for falling off the side of the building, not for falling through the roof sort of thing. So he had a lot more slack than what he needed. And the roof gave way. He fell onto a concrete floor, approximately 17 feet, right in front of an EMT. There are two things that saved his life. One, right in front of an EMT, and the EMT told his person he was with, go in the back of my truck, all my guvenos in the back of the truck, bring it in here. I got to save this guy's life. Saved his life. Number one. Number two, he was 19 years old. That was the number two thing, because I tell you what, would have killed me. Would have killed most of the people I know. But he was able to make a recovery with this. Now, let's go back to you share a screen here, right? The purlins were used as a walking working surface for other than the installation of safety systems, and prior to all permanent bridging had been installed and fall protection provided, the employee was walking on top of purlin while not using fall protection, fell 14 feet to a lower level, and the employer had previously been cited. So they had been cited on this earlier that year. Now here's the question for you. Was this communicated to the employee? Employers sometimes, if it was communicated and they did receive training, the employers sometimes use the argument of employee misconduct, unforeseeable. It's the employee's fault. Well, guess what? Very difficult to make that case. I've made it one time. All right, but it was an over-the-top situation. They had said the employee did not, and OSHA came out, and I'm not faulting OSHA because they have to deal with what they got to deal with, what they see. They just came out and they said, this employee did not have fall protection on or whatever. And we said, look, he was trained. He was issued equipment. They had a sign-out sheet for that equipment. He had this. He was told by his supervisor, and he had already been suspended for this. He came back, and he did it again, blah, blah, blah. And they said, well, prove to us that he knew how to use fall protection. Well, we had the sign-in sheet. We have the, for the class, we have a test for the class. We have 17 sign-in sheets where you have to sign on that you know how to use fall protection. We have all different pictures. We covered ourselves in there. Had the equipment and everything else. And guess what? He fell. He wasn't wearing what he was supposed to be wearing. Wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. He knew this, and he had been disciplined. And we showed that he had been disciplined before. And that other people have been disciplined. And it's the same rule for everything. Guess what happened? OSHA said, you know what? This is like the only time this is ever going to happen. But, you know, they vacated that because they were able to prove that the man had everything that he needed to do the job, just chose not to do it. Very, very difficult thing to do. Extremely difficult. And, by the way, I had everything on the whole training on video. Everything was there. And they said this, like, doesn't happen. So if you think employee misconduct, you're going to get away. Well, we can get away with a blah, 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 because employee misconduct ain't going to happen. You better have your I's crossed and your T's dotted. Okay, moving on to our next one here. This is, again, another fatal fall at a shipyard. Well, Jim, we're supposed to be talking about construction. Well, guess what? A lot of the same things are here with us. We're not going to go through all 33 violations here with fall protection that this company had here. Hold on. Where is the report? Proposed $190,000. This was, and I covered this the other night, but I fouled up the presentation a little bit. The name of the ship, this is a U.S. Navy ship owned by probably the Military Sealift Command sort of thing is what I'm thinking. I don't have the history of this ship, but it was the USNS First Lieutenant Jack Loomis. That's the name of the ship. And what did they get him on? Lack of lighting. This is one, and you know it's a shipyard standard because it's 1915.82 on here. Let's see if I can highlight that, right? So, not letting me highlight, but that's fine. 1915 is shipyard, 16,131. Inadequate lighting, citation one, item two, lack of hard hats. Citation one, and that was 12,676. Citation two, item one, willful. Again, on a shipyard, this is what's confusing. General industry, 4 foot. Maritime, marine terminals, 4 foot. fall construction, 6 feet or higher, you need fall protection of some sort, a guardrail, something. Scaffolding, 10 feet. Shipyard, 5 feet. So, again, not there, right? Employee fell, apparently. $161,323 and 1910.305. It was extension cords were for string lights, were no tension relievers on there, $0, for a grand total of $190,000. So that's basically it on that. With this, what do you guys think? What do you folks think? You know, this is a pretty fouled up situation here. So with all this stuff, we'll be talking about fall protection every day here. With this, we didn't cover some stuff. We'll get to it tomorrow or next time for Safety Wars. Let's do some more commercials.
In an unpredictable world, one voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Poelzel, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now, he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all. With his engaging storytelling and expert analysis, Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Poelzel and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos. Safety Wars. Your safety is our mission.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that actually addresses your hazards in your workplaces and is not standardized baloney from 25 years ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call Jim Poelzel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces. Yes, you are the solution.
You are listening to Safety Wars. Tomorrow's safety today.
All right, I want to thank everybody for hanging in there, bearing with me with all this craziness and everything else that we do here. We'll see you back tomorrow. It's still not too late to give us a call at 845-269-5772, where we talk about your fall protection week. Again, make sure you have those stand downs and everything else that you need for Fall Protection Week. For Safety Wars, this is Jim Poelzel.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
safety. Get out your secret decoder ring. Here is your nightly message.
Learning is vital. Learning is vital.